afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Whoa, Dick, well, yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Rich has gotten ill. For some reason, I knew that he was going to get sick. I thought so yesterday before I got the information.
We had like a sense of it.
Yeah, because everyone, we had a couple people over and everyone was talking about how so-and-so was sick or their kid was sick. And I was thinking, you get the flu on a Sunday. You get a nice, you know, couple days off. You get to sleep. And I thought about, and then I go, you know what? I'm not going to get sick. And I go, I bet you anything Rich gets sick. I was thinking, it wouldn't be so bad to get sick.
Well, you peppered that in with maybe he's not as sick as he would be, say, on a Friday.
No, I believe Rich is sick. I have no doubt that Rich is sick. I'm just saying that if you're going to get sick, I mean, a Sunday night is when you want it to kick in.
Okay, all right. So you're hopeful that it happens then.
Yeah, that like yesterday, you know, I'm walking around and I'm thinking, you know, now would be the time to get sick.
Well, you're a real glass half full kind of guy. So that's the bright way of looking at things.
Yeah, you get sick.
Silver lining.
Yeah, you get sick on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You get at least 2-3 days of sleeping in. You don't have a care in the world. You have no responsibility. You can just sit and watch TV. No one's bothering you.
I remember we had this conversation in December. You were actually hoping for one of these things to happen to you so you could get 4 or 5 days off. And just for those reasons specifically.
Yeah.
And I think you threw in the caveat, and I get to lose weight too.
Well, I don't want the intestinals.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
You just want a regular flu.
Right.
I had such a good week. Was it not last week? I guess the week before, midwinter break, whenever that was. Was that 2 weeks ago for the kids, starting with President's Day?
Oh, yeah, that was a couple weeks ago.
Because my son started getting a little fluish, you know, just the fever and the cough the day after his last day of school. So Saturday afternoon.
Oh, boy.
And was sick Sunday. And then I was home with the kids. We call it a staycation, Fred. You know, we're just going to do things close to home for a few days, and then we're going to switch, and then mommy's going to stay home for a couple of days.
So you took time off.
I took time
on
off.
On vacation.
On vacation to stay home with the kids to do things. We had, you know, little day trips planned here or there, you know, a couple of things depending on the weather. Might change it up a bit.
See, I would rather work.
Well, that's the problem when you have children is you don't always get to do what you would want to do.
Well, you take a little vacation.
Well, you could go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that, too, just later on.
Okay.
I can't be... Look, I'm not a billionaire morning man.
No.
Right?
So certainly not.
We do not vacation on a whim or at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
We got to plan them out, you know, a couple of year tops.
But you're a dual-income family.
Yeah, we're doing okay. But the fact was, we were gonna take it easy that week.
Can you sleep in during a staycation, or do you have to get up with the children?
I don't. No. Well, don't have to get up with our kids anymore.
Okay.
I mean, when they if they get up 20, 30, an hour before us, that's fine. They're totally capable. But fact remains that he was sick Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, got better for a minute on Thursday, which was the day when my wife was going to take the kids to New York for a couple of days, so that was the carrot I had dangling for me at the end of the week. You know?
He was so, I had this conversation with Hardy on Tuesday. He was so looking forward to that Thursday. And, he was so excited.
And just, you know, to be able to take care of stuff around the house. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, get out the paintbrush.
But I didn't know the ending of the story. Okay.
There was a guy.
He relapsed. So my wife and daughter went to New York with their friends.
And
the boy
stay.
And I stayed home. He was sick for 7 straight days with like a 12-hour window the day before they were supposed to leave where I thought he was going to be okay.
Oh, boy. Wait, so you're like a, you go out home improvement style and you go around the house and you take, I was, you take care of projects?
I had 2 projects I wanted to accomplish and I got half of one of them done. That was it.
There was a guy in my neighborhood. He was up on a big ladder and he was doing roofing. And he had a Escalade and 2 Audi SUVs in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, what the hell are you doing?
It's a good point.
Like, why are you on the roof?
It's a good point. Is this a Superman that lives near you that does everything?
I haven't seen Superman in quite some time.
Oh.
No.
Well, did you ever think that maybe he has the Escalade and the 2 Audis because he saves a few bucks by a little DIY?
Yeah, I would assume that you can buy an Escalade based on the money you save from every 10 years roofing.
Replacing a couple of shingles.
Yeah, I would imagine that that's what really puts
you
over
the difference.
Top.
That's the difference.
That's what puts you over the top is the shingling.
You add up enough of those things, Fred. Let's say, that, now I have never done brakes on my car. I was forced to learn how to change the oil on my 77 Nova, but that was it.
Changing oil is easy.
Yeah.
I can even change the oil.
Change the oil. But, you know, if you add up enough of those things, yeah, it probably makes a difference. The end of the year, you're balancing the old family ledger.
The end of the year, so how much is an oil change? It's $30?
Synthetic? Whoa, no, more like 70.
You don't go synthetic, you just go, crude. Go Beverly Hillbilly style.
I bet you're doing synthetic in that new car.
I haven't gotten oil in it yet.
Probably don't need it. Once a year now.
No, but I barely drive, so I don't need oil that much.
You're like the guy in the commercial we're running now. I barely drive my own car anymore.
That's right.
I take Ubers
that's
everywhere.
That's right.
If I need to go to CVS, I call an Uber.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, Schulte.
No, but how many miles do you think that you put on a car in a year?
I put on about 13,000 miles a year.
Yeah, I'm close to that. Well, maybe a little more because I'm driving back and forth to Rhode Island.
4,500.
No, you don't.
Wow.
No, you
don't.
Oh, my God. I'm not lying to you.
Oh, wow.
So you bought a spaceship not to drive, basically.
The spaceship. Yeah, I bought a sedan.
Why would you buy it? Okay. Why would you buy
it? Are you with me on this, Hardy?
Anything other than a used Dodge Neon.
I know.
If you're going to drive 4,500 miles a year.
I mean, what do you want me to, where am I going to go? What am I supposed to do?
You have a really nice car. Why would you spend the money on that? It's cost you the same every month.
Yeah, because you go to Newton Center, you rub the engine.
You can't go to Johnny's Luncheonette driving a piece of crap.
Nonsense.
You can't pull up in the meter there.
What the hell difference does it make if I drive? Where am I driving? Where do
it's
you drive?
It's like saying you live in a $1 million house, but you're only there 2 months a year. Well, what's the point?
No, I'm in the car every day. I just don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, for a block and a half.
No. It's 5 miles here. Then I run generally a couple errands a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in the Newt. I mean, there's not much I have to do. Where do I have to go?
Things are going
to
change in a couple of months. He's going to at least drive 7,000 miles a year after the commute changes.
It's not going to be that much.
All right, 6,000.
It's only double the commute. Please.
You almost double up your... Yeah. You almost double up your miles then.
It's 8.8 miles. I don't think I'm going to be racking up miles.
How many miles is it from your house to here right now?
5.
Okay, so we're going to add. Wallet, can you? It's
going to be 4. It's going to be 8 more miles a day.
So we'll have to figure this out with a 5 mile commute. If he puts on 4,500 a year, how many is he going to do with 8 miles?
Okay. Well, eight. I was told there would be no math when I came in here today.
8 times 5 is 40.
Yes.
Yeah, so 40 miles a week.
This is really good. Okay, let's call it a 16-mile round trip.
Sure.
How many days do you think you work? Let's see, there's 50 weeks here. If you worked all five days for 52 weeks, I was giving you 2 weeks vacation. All right, let's say.
I had 5 weeks vacation.
5 weeks vacation. Let's say, and out of those, you call in sick or just don't show up half of the time. Let's say you work
just don't show
26
up.
Days a year, I'd say you work. 26 times 16. Yeah, you're looking to put 416 miles on that car. You'll be okay. You'll be all right.
I'll keep that under wraps.
Is that a lease or did you buy it?
I bought it.
All right.
So that's a good investment, right? You don't rack up a lot of miles.
I don't know.
Well, first of all, my children can barely fit in it. So that's an issue that I didn't see.
Well, and it's a good thing that they get shorter as they grow too. So right. as they don't fit well now, they will eventually fit better as they shrink.
Milo's the tallest kid in his class, right?
In his particular class, but there's a couple giants at that school in his grade.
Okay.
Freakishly, though. Nothing that you want to be.
4,500 miles a year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want out of me?
I want you to drive a little bit more.
Where do you want me to go?
You've got all day. I don't know. Go do something. Take a drive in the country.
Country? Honestly, where am I going
to
go?
Head out Route 2. Go to Concord. It's
go in there, trees.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Go to Walden Pond.
That's right. Go by Acting. There's plenty of space out there.
You're acting like I don't go to Walden Pond and contemplate. No, but seriously, where am I going to go?
I don't know. People go places and do things.
Yeah, we go in my wife's car because there's room for the kids.
Does she drive or do you drive?
Oh, she drives.
Always?
Oh, yeah. I'm constantly on drugs. Can't have me driving. No, I'm all over the place. I'm on goofballs half the time.
All right.
She probably puts 6,000 miles a year on the car.
You guys just stay home a lot. You're in the house
I'm
a lot.
No, I'm constantly not in the house. But where do you go? Oh, you're always in Burlington.
Yeah. I mean, I go up to Burlington for work. I go down to Gillette for work.
Yeah, I got none of that crap.
Yeah.
I only go west.
But 13,000 miles a year, there are people listening to us right now going like, oh, that's nothing. There are people put 20,000 miles on their car every year, easily.
Wow, well, they're the true heroes. What do you want out of me?
I don't drive a ton. I'm average.
Yeah, but you have to go to Gillette, which I'll never go to, and then you have to, and then you go to Burlington, which I used to do, but I don't want to go there anymore.
But that's like maybe once a week. I'm just out doing stuff, like driving around, like to all your kids' like games and practices.
They're
and
all
stuff.
In Newton.
All walking distance?
No, I drive to them. But they're at Oak Hill, that's like a mile and a half away. Or if I have to go to the other side of town, it's 4 miles.
You need to get your kids involved with swimming. Then you get to drive to like Acton, Boxboro, and Westwood. And
well, that's the goal, John.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's to get my kids in boring sports where I have to travel a long way. I'll get them into swimming immediately because that's what I want to do is sit all day at a swim meet.
That's right. It's boring, but your kids are in the water for maybe 90 seconds out of a four-hour event.
See, you don't have a girl, so you don't have to go to dance recitals. Mm-hmm. So what you said is I'm going to triple up this dance recital and put my sons into the pool.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's fun for everybody.
Ingenious of you. All right. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason brought to you by Snapple. Boomer talks about, hey, driving around. It's great.
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Kutcher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Kutcher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich, and to be honest, nothing happened last evening, but information did come out. The Celtics responding to the Players Tribune. They had a video of Gordon Hayward. He was taking jump shots. And Brad Stevens said after he was asked about that, that he's not playing this year. I don't know what else to say. If Gordon Hayward is indeed traveling with the team and he is, has the ability to take jump shots, it's the beginning of March. Do we believe that Gordon Hayward is not playing this season? And why? Like, why would he not play? If he has the ability to move, shoot, and run, what are you waiting for?
But does he have the ability to run?
I would imagine if he can jump off the ground and land on his foot, that he would have the ability to run. I mean, you're not asking him to play, you know, 30 minutes a night. I guess you would be asking him to play 10 minutes a night. Are you convinced that he is not going to play this season?
No. I'm not convinced that he's not going to play this season.
So what is the deal with Brad Stevens? He just doesn't want to talk about it?
That's what it seems like to me. I mean, he's been asked about it almost every day now for 4 months. And if I'm asked the same question every day for 4 months, there's got to be a period of time where you look at everyone and go, it's not happening, leave me alone. He didn't say leave me alone, but it's not happening. You know, so that may get the heat off of him. And then you just wait. Then it's on Hayward. And if you see Hayward, you know, running full speed up and down the floor,
well,
then you get asked a question and you could answer appropriately.
Well, John, I'll say this. He said, Steven said that on Saturday morning, Hayward did a workout on an anti-gravity treadmill that was set to 60% of his body weight.
Yes.
So he flew to space.
Yes.
What? And they were allowed him to use 60% of his body
it's
weight.
It's like an anti-G. So it wasn't described as that. It was like an anti-G treadmill something. Something
isn't I've never it underwater?
Heard of. I have no idea. I have no idea what any of that means.
He says, it's great. I think the videos are great, too, because it continues to show progress. Because sometimes when you're in the midst of that long rehab, you don't feel the progress of the day-to-day the way now we might see in the video. Or someone who hasn't seen him may see the video and say, man, he's really getting better. But he's a super long way from even being in one-on-none workout when he's cutting.
You see, that's it, Fred. You say, like, if he can run, he can jump, he can shoot, why wouldn't he come in and give you 10 minutes a night? I have no reason to believe that a guy who has been essentially not moving, right, for all these months, could just ramp back up and be able to play at game speed, not only in the regular season, but postseason is when you think you really need him. You know how these guys turn it up a notch in the postseason. It's like a different sport in basketball in the postseason. Oh, all of a sudden guys are going to play defense on every possession? Oh, now we're actually going to, like, meet the ball at half court every once in a while and try and get a turnover early on before they can get it down low? I mean, these are the things that you're going to have to be prepared for, and the worst way to prepare for it is by not doing anything for months and months and months. So, he looks great shooting, but so what?
But he had a walking boot on, so he was moving.
Yeah, but not running and not getting yourself into game shape. I don't think there's any way he would be ready to play this year.
No.
I'm not willing to rule it out yet. Not. I still think there's a chance.
Ron, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey. I'm, by all means, I'm not one of those, like, professional athletes. I can do it, you can do it type deal. But I had in college, I had a compound fracture in my left leg. The whole Joe Theismann injury in my left leg. And it wasn't – I did actually play in baseball, but – I was actually running at 8 months, 7 months out. Now, he had a fracture, but he had a dislocation. And I remember the doctors and the physical therapists, they're like, look, you're going to be physically ready to go. But the mental aspect of it, of being able to cut and jump, because if it's your left foot and you're right-handed, that's your dominant leg. If you're jumping and you're planting and you're cutting. And I didn't play basketball at that level, but I played pickup basketball for fun. I could not, for the life of me, for about a year, mentally think that I was going to be able to cut off my left foot or my left ankle without it snapping in half again. And I think, you know, when I see Gordon Hayward's injury like that, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, that mental aspect of it, when you see your foot or your leg pointing in the wrong direction, and then you're playing at a professional high level to jump, I mean, for him to attack the rim and think, if he comes down, is he going to come down on that leg again, or what's going to happen? But that's just my opinion on it. But y'all have a good morning.
All right. So physically, you could do it, but it's a mental situation.
I don't. I don't know about that. I don't know if he's going to be scared to cut on that leg because of the break. But what I do know is this. I'm not convinced they're going to automatically be better just because Gordon Hayward's on the floor with them. You develop a certain chemistry with certain guys out there in certain groupings. All of a sudden, you're going to stick a guy out there who you've played a total of 5 minutes with in the first game of the season. I mean, that's the assumption I'm not willing to make, that it's like, oh, obviously they're going to be better when Hayward's in there. Eventually, yes, it'll be a better team with Gordon Hayward out there with Al Horford and Kyrie. Sure. But right away, no. I have no reason to believe that.
I think that even if you have him on the floor and he has no chemistry at all with the players on there with him, the fact that he can score points off the bench just by catching and shooting in the playoffs is a big plus. Now, they're getting scoring all over the place from the bench right now. Everyone is lighting it up off the bench, but I'm not willing to say that's going to happen in the playoffs. That is this team's flaw. They have a very good starting five. You have guys that have been scoring off the bench now, but I'm not willing to sit here and tell you that that's going to happen in the playoffs. If you get Gordon Hayward out there for 10 or 15 minutes in a playoff situation, you're right. He has to ramp it back up. It's a different sport. You hope he plays before that. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Hayward doesn't help this team.
Well, I will tell you one
off
thing.
The bench in any situation.
There is no luckier human being on the planet than Al Horford. There is no luckier player on the planet to get a max deal if you're Al Horford. And everyone who studies the game and says how they couldn't run this offense without him, that's fantastic.
It's a great passer, Fred. One of the best passing centers in basketball.
Yeah, well, that's like being the smartest guy at the...
Brings the ball up the floor.
That'd be like the most talented guy in Nickelback.
He's being the best magician at a golf tournament. So what?
That's you on any given day.
Well, there's a lot of magicians.
Good for you, Hardy.
Well,
it depends if you're a magician with that wedge.
Hey! Yeah, he's a magician around the greens. I can tell you that.
He can really make them stick. Yeah, I watched the game the other night. He can't take over a game. He can't score.
No.
Let's take a moment to revisit like the ridiculousness of that very true statement. Al Horford, your max player, the guy who they signed. It's like, okay, this is really going to burst the free agent bubble here in Boston. This is going to set things rolling, and it did. You know, they got him to sign here, and it's like, awesome. Can he take over a game? Oh, no.
No, he's 90th in the NBA in scoring. No.
Yeah. But where is he in assists among centers, I ask you?
Yes, that's fantastic.
Top two or three, baby.
Really okay.
Read it and weep.
Who's ahead of him?
They got Jokic in Denver. I know.
Well, I mean, you're not going to be able to keep up with Jokic. Jokic in Denver, yep. he writes his own checks.
Much like Horford, an all-star.
That's right. That's what you need. Is you got a guy, and then Horford with those dizzying Magic-esque passes that he gets out of the paint.
He's not Magic Johnson. He gets the ball where it needs to go.
Right. He hands it off. Hands
it off. What are you talking about? Have you been watching those passes go places?
I've watched on occasion, to be honest with you.
Do you?
No, I just go.
Okay.
I just go, oh, this game's close. Kyrie Irving's not playing.
I wonder why Al Horford brings the ball up the floor and triggers the offense.
I wonder what Horford's going to do.
That's right.
Oh, he'll go for 12. He'll go for 12, 8 rebounds.
That's right. And 5 or 6 assists. That's right.
I know that every basketball nerd is pounding the steering wheel.
Check the advanced numbers, my friend.
I was coming around on him this year. I had to say I was becoming an Al Horford fan. I'm like, I wanted to find Jackie McMullen's email and send her. I'm like, I finally get it now. Thank you for opening my eyes and making me think there was something. And now I'm back to, I don't see it.
It's the little things.
What's the big deal?
Maybe you got to watch more.
He's the shortest 6'10" guy on the planet.
I don't doubt that the offense could not run this offense without him, but I mean, and it's not his fault that he makes all that money, but my Lord, what a lucky guy. I mean, what a lucky guy.
Just give me something. Give me something. One play a game,
like a tangible thing where your back's against the wall and you know, well, listen, you dump it in the post and he's back right back at you.
A big block to steal a win in Detroit last year. Telling you.
Last year.
That's right.
Blocked Aaron Baines at the buzzer to steal a win.
Well, we've seen Aaron Baines. He's a real rock star.
Yeah.
The way he got benched the other night. Real rock star.
He's been hurt a lot, Fred, recently.
How did he do against Bynum and that other guy from Detroit?
Who? Horford?
Yeah.
Lit it up. I think he had 14 that night.
Mm-hmm. No, listen.
Game I saw him play against him, I think he went for the 22 rebound night.
Yeah.
And the 23 points to go with it.
You mean Drummond?
Yes. Drummond, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the type of thing you would like to see a little bit more in those circumstances. Okay. Guy's a little bit younger.
Drummond does it on everybody, though.
Maybe an inch taller.
That's the guy that's
supposed to prevent you maybe from getting 22 rebounds a night.
Listen, that's why Drummond's an all-star. Whoops. And that's why the Pistons are really good, huh? All right. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And I was sent a story by Dan that Brock Lesnar, who people believe Rob Gronkowski could be taking over for in the WWE, Brock Lesnar, who makes millions and millions upon millions of dollars, didn't show up for one event last week and then only did a 35-second event the next night.
People were very upset about that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I was so upset I peed on the ground in response.
Wallet, can I ask you something?
Sure.
I've heard this.
Yeah.
I heard this last week. Now, is this a cat with Jimmy Stewart's face?
It's kitty litter James Stewart.
Okay. Why is it kitty litter?
Why not?
Okay. But is this an actual cat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was under the tool shed.
I was disgusted.
He was under the tool shed for a while.
Is it a cat that has a face that resembles Jay Stu?
Yes.
Or is it actually Jay Stu's face on a cat?
Yeah. No, it's Jay Stu's face on a cat. That's how I see it.
Okay.
Now Fred could see it differently. I can only go by how
I see it. I was so furious. I marked territory all over the house.
Well, what should have Brock Lesnar done in that circumstance?
Well, he should have wrestled like a man. I went outside and hid.
Where did you hide?
Tool shed.
We were looking all over for you.
Yeah, like idiots.
Call the police, put up wanted posters and everything.
Well, you don't call the police, you fool. Don't approach me or I'll run.
We just want you to come back inside the house.
Yeah, that's what you want, fools. Check under every bed. Gotcha. Nope, not under that one.
If we offered you some food, would you come back inside the house?
I'll wait until you gave up, and then I'll come over and have a bite or two.
Have to leave it on the porch.
But then if you approach me, I'll run.
Right.
I don't understand why
you're going to have to set up some system for people around the shed.
Four people?
Yeah.
What?
Because I could take off in any direction.
Well, what happens if one of us reaches down and grabs you? What happens then?
Well, grabs me by what?
The collar.
I cry rape.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wow.
All right. It's a little extreme, it would seem.
Well, I need attention.
I see.
Meow. Meow. Any pile of dirt works as a...
as what?
As a litter box.
Oh, okay.
Anything I can dig into. Dig, dig, dig. Cover, cover, cover.
We just want you to come back inside. Why are you so opposed to spending time with the family in the house?
Because Lesnar blew it.
Oh.
And you won't even get the pay-per-views. You're cheap. Why don't you get the WWE Network?
Would that bring you back inside if we got to WWE?
Sometimes I sit on top of the TV because it's warm.
Oh.
And then I wait.
Well, what if we were watching Monday Night Raw as to your liking?
Yeah.
And then
okay.
Lesnar doesn't even show up. Like he didn't. He didn't show up at Monday Night Raw.
I book it.
Back under the shed.
Back under the shed. And then you put up flyers and you say, don't approach, because he'll run. Or if you put your hand in, you might be in for a little surprise. It's called my fangs in your effing hand. I love the taste of blood, human blood.
Well, Kitty Litter James, too.
Well, listen, I'm covered in mud.
Well, don't you? I can't clean
myself.
No, that's what cats do. You're supposed to clean yourself. You're supposed to bathe yourself.
I can't contort my body the correct way. Old wound from falling off the tool shed.
I thought you were spent your time under the tool shed.
This is beforehand.
That's out of necessity. Because I used to be on top of the tool shed.
What were you doing up there?
Sunning.
All right.
I was sunning myself.
Taking a cat nap? Is that what you call it?
Ha ha. Real funny. Yeah. You know how they say you always land on your legs?
Right.
It's lies perpetrated by humans.
Oh.
Just another excuse to chuck you.
Would you be interested in attending?
I'd be interested in Roman Reigns actually having a match.
In attending
instead of Lesnar. Just getting away with a half
an actual
hour.
Live wrestling event. Not watching it on TV, but something like going to the Garden, going to a venue.
Could take you in a carrying case. You'd enjoy it.
Right. I'd book it under the ring. And hang out.
But you wouldn't be able to see the action.
I hear it. The vibrations. I'd mark my... Ooh, what's that smell of ammonia? It's my pee.
You just think you're missing out on an opportunity to see it in person or in cat.
I have my own battles to fight.
What battles are those?
I don't know. Dogs.
Oh.
They come around and I book it.
What about kids with squirt guns?
Oh, that's nasty. We don't like that.
Kids with squirt guns? I go into the tool shed and plot what's next.
Now you're in the shed.
Yeah.
Not just under.
Are you sleeping? Well, it looks like you got a new friend sitting on your face. When you pet me, I reverse myself so my butt's in your face.
Is that, we call that presenting in the animal kingdom, is that right?
Well, Beastie Boys lyric. Is that where you get your information?
No, I didn't even know that song.
Well, it's not presenting. It's almost a dare. Look at it. Look at it. You want me to nuzzle you with my face.
It's a dare?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How long can you look at it? Okay. You pet me and it just rises further and further and closer and closer.
I see.
My balloon knot.
Okay.
It's right up in there.
Right.
Lesnar's nothing but a has-been.
Okay.
He's like a calico. Ghetto.
Is that how you look at calicos? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are you purebred?
Huh?
Are you a purebred?
I'm a damn alley cat.
So
I don't play by anyone's rules.
It's a damn icon, Hardy.
But I'm neutered. Oh. I don't care. I'm like Morrissey. I don't care for anything.
So there's a certain amount of androgyny when we're talking to you.
Except when you're petting me. Meow, meow, meow. Face. Butt in your face.
Right. I'm tapping out.
Dig, dig,
that's
dig.
It. Yeah, that's
all. We're done.
Dig, dig, dig.
Right.
Cover, cover, cover.
All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Bruins on Saturday night. A big win against Montreal. Two very impressive goals, but McAvoy is done. And one of the very frustrating things about hockey is the total lack of information that comes out. Like, just, there's nothing. What did they say? Lower body. Because he got slashed.
Looked like it was in a pileup at one end of the ice, and it happened real early in the first period. He disappeared, didn't return, and all you got was lower body, and that's still all we know on Monday morning.
So what do you think the worst-case scenario that could have happened to McAvoy is in that situation?
Well, yeah, he could have gotten slashed, but I don't think there's a... I mean, we're all wildly speculating. You don't think it's a broken bone or anything like that, but... Yeah, I mean, we're late in the season here. I mean, there's always that little nagging thing in the back of your mind. A big injury here is a killer.
Well, that's why they
got... playoffs are right around the corner.
Yeah, that's why they got so much depth, and that why you have to get all that depth defensively. And it makes sense now that they went out and made what seems like very minor moves.
Now, the question is, do you feel comfortable with Brandon Carlo as part of that top pairing now in the interim, considering he was just a healthy scratch not too long ago?
Yeah, because he did it last year. I mean, Carlo, not for a long stretch. I mean, McAvoy, I mean, you're losing, you've lost McAvoy. Next to Chara, the defenseman you could at least afford to lose is McAvoy. And then you've lost Bergeron, who's the player you can probably at least afford to lose.
Right now, though, the prognosis there is good.
Okay, so you've heard something about that.
Well, at least 2 weeks. I mean, you say he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. That leads me to believe that it's not too terrible a thing.
Because you would imagine if it was the playoffs, he'd be playing on it.
Yeah. If it's a small fracture, yeah, he'd be out there.
Yeah.
I mean, he played a game on it in the regular season.
Right.
I mean, I would think he would be out there. But the thing that is a killer, if you don't have McAvoy, it's really a problem getting the puck out of your own end.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to take you a lot more effort to get it out of there without McAvoy there.
Because the kid, the left defenseman, the kid that they got is hurt too.
Holden.
No. The kid with the G. Come on.
Grizzlick. Yes.
He's hurt now, too. So they can't. And he's a puck-moving defenseman, so
correct.
They can't use him. So you're going to have to bring back McQuaid.
Yep.
So
McQuaid and Carlo should both play tonight. Not tonight. Tomorrow night.
Yeah. And I feel bad for McQuaid. Because he's been a healthy scratch three of the last four games.
And think about it. The problem,
you see him pop up on the roster, you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that dude.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is he's usually hurt and unable to play. Now he's able to play and can't find his way onto the roster.
Which I guess is a good thing.
Ice. Yes.
Because it gives them, it shows you the depth of what they have. But it's so frustrating in hockey that you have absolutely no idea. And you can go a month without having any idea. Day to day, lower body. Don't worry about it. We're going to reevaluate on Monday.
Yep.
And then when they reevaluate on Monday, they'll go day to day, lower body. Don't worry about it. See, I'm not convinced that Bergeron's coming back in 2 weeks. I mean, he'll play in the playoffs, but I mean, how long, when you're rolling like this, you're 7-3-0 in the last 10 games. You're 3 points ahead of Toronto with 4 games in hand. You're within striking distance of Tampa Bay. How long do you sit? I mean, you got to sit Bergeron until he's 100%.
Yeah, right. I think you forget about Tampa Bay at this point. I mean, they're within striking distance.
They're 6 points behind with 3 games in hand.
Right, but the key is you want to make sure everybody is absolutely as healthy as they can be in 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not a long enough layoff to where if he goes a week or two beyond those 2 weeks, you have to worry about a lot more rust or a lot more cobwebs to shake off once he gets back on the ice. I don't think it makes a difference. I think you err on the side of getting him as healthy as you can before the playoffs. And if that, once they have to determine what their comfort level is heading into the postseason, what seed do they want? What reasonable difference is it going to make going from one spot to the other? You get Bergeron as healthy as you can, and you're even willing to take a small hit in terms of placement in the postseason as long as you get him back at as close to 100% health as you can have him.
Just make sure you have home ice advantage against Toronto in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, they will.
That's it. And then, you know, don't push. If it's there, fine. If Tampa Bay falls off a little bit and you find yourself there, then fine. But don't put on the full court press to get by Tampa Bay. I mean, you have, 5 weeks left of the season. Get everyone back in 3 or 4. Get them acclimated. Get them playing. And then hit the ground running when the postseason starts.
I just hate that you see McAvoy get hurt in the beginning of the game. I understand after the game that they don't really know. But then they're going to get him reevaluated today. Which, yesterday he just, watched cartoons and didn't come into the facility?
Mm-hmm.
That he just sat around and they're like, yeah, brunch. Enjoy the day. Go to the facility. Because what are people going to do? Start, like, if McAvoy, they're going to what? You know, find him on the street and start hitting him with sticks? Well, I understand your ankle's bothering you. Maybe I run over your foot. I mean, what do they expect to happen?
Sure.
And how come hockey gets away with that? People gamble on hockey.
There's no injury report that's required.
Yes.
So?
A
you
bad
can get
thing.
Away with it.
No, I understand that. If I don't have to divulge injuries, I don't. But it's the only sport there is that you don't have to divulge an injury. Except for maybe esports, which is your specialty.
Sure. But then you just have, like, sprained ligament in your thumb or something like that.
But hockey has more game-time decisions than any other sport. So maybe it's a function of that. It's like, that I can't tell you this morning if the guy's going to be able to go tonight. We literally don't know until he gets out there. And you see a lot of guys who participate in a pregame skate, maybe making it into warm-ups. Nope, not going to play. You know, they'll see what he's like at that point. So maybe that's why.
I don't know. You don't have to get specific with anything. They did with Bergeron. But they usually don't get specific with anything. Every time Krejci gets hurt, they just say, it's Krejci.
Krejci injury.
Yeah, hurt.
That's true.
Don't worry about
body
it.
Body injury.
Sorry, he's got his own category.
All right, well, Hardy has reviewed what happened at the Oscars last night. He is all over that thing. He's seen all the films.
Yep. Every single one.
Including Coco, which was a big winner last night.
All the foreign animated documentaries. Watched all of them over the weekend.
Kobe Bryant winning an award.
Yep.
For the most glamorous of awards, the animated short. I mean, that's the Fellini Award for animated short.
That's the one that... I don't know why they don't wait for that one until the end. To maximize ratings.
Especially
see who's going to win Best Animated Short.
Especially when Scorsese's nominated.
Why was an animated short like in the ceremony that Patrick Stewart hosted?
I don't know.
Why didn't they put that one on a Saturday?
I don't know because...
why was animated short as part of the festivities?
Some of those technical awards would be way more interesting than these things that we are literally never going to see. When do you see an animated short?
When they open up the kids' movie. When they show an animated short before the kids' movie.
Is that for real? Have you seen them there?
Yeah. You go to see a kid's movie.
Every once in a while. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe if you weren't such a 9-to-5 or nickel and dimer, you'd cash out a little bit.
I just don't remember seeing them.
And take your kids to Coco.
How long do they last?
Well,
shorts.
They're 30 seconds.
Makes it easier for the Academy to review everything.
It's like half a commercial.
It's like lunch break. Everyone just check out the five nominees and that's over.
What theaters are still showing two cartoons and a newsie before you get to the feature film?
Hey, the boys overseas. And then Betty Page is helping them through some hard times. Look at them gams.
Rosie, put down your rivets and smile for the camera.
Everyone return your cans. We need them to build something.
Well, proof that the old-timey voice is still a funny thing. Kimmel used it last night. Are you a Jimmy Kimmel fan?
I do. I'm going to be in the green room for the Jimmy Kimmel show.
What?
Later this month.
What?
That's a Dickie Barrett thing, right?
No, it's a Jimmy Kimmel thing.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, so I will not be in the audience for the show, but I will be backstage in the green room.
For what? Going on the show?
Oh, yeah. I'm the first guest.
Well, green room indicates somebody who's about to go on the show. You wait in the green room until it's your time to appear.
Yeah, he's like, hey, local radio DJ Fred Toucher. And I come out and I go, hey, what do you think about them Celtics? I go, I don't know. What do I know? I've been offered, inquired about tickets. And then I was told, why don't you come and hang out in the green room? During the show.
Who told you that?
My agent.
Oh, all right.
Still all right. A cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's very cool.
I mean, I just hope there's some sexy actress with, all the right places. You know, she's got them whops and then the boops.
When is this?
What?
The Wappa Wappas and the boots.
When is this happening?
It's later this month.
The whole family?
No.
Just you?
My wife and I.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's watching the kids.
I don't know. These people we found on the street.